Welcome to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio, a show to help you get from where you are to where you truly want to be. Now here's your host of Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen, Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Jennifer Grace, and welcome to today's show all about the bubble talk of money. And we'll get into that in a moment, but just wanted to make a couple of announcements. As you know, every show I give away free stuff, and my awesome guests also give away free stuff. So today's free stuff is to go to jennifergrace.com/free stuff. And there are a couple of online free masterclasses. The first one is coming up this May 18th and 19th. There's evening and daytime options for the masterclass called Fearless, 10 Profound Mindfulness Tools to Overcome Anxiety and Stop Obsessive Thinking. We love that. And we're going to be having the next one coming up June 1st and 2nd, also evening and day options. The Money Mindset, 6 Simple Steps to Change Your Relationship with Money to Manifest More. So in light of the money talk, we're going to be talking about money today. We love talking about money. It's always so interesting, but really about the deep-seated belief systems that are running our relationship with money and how we can kind of reprogram what's happening for us so that we can have a healthy relationship with money and have the abundance flow in effortlessly. So, of course, I had to bring on Burge Smith Lyons, who is a colleague and a very dear friend of mine, also a mentor of mine. She's my teacher. And I love bringing on my teachers and my mentors who really helped me get to where I am today. You know, I wasn't born a Hay House author and transformational international coach. I needed some help. I needed a lot of cleaning up and clearing out to really be able to do that for others. So I seek out very powerful transformational leaders and you know, change makers in this world. And Burge is one of them. She is the owner and president of Essence of Being. She also facilitates family and corporate training and seminars for emotional healing and better communication techniques. She has been involved with communications and emotional healing in the educational environment for over 35 years. And she has created and facilitated personal growth workshops and corporate seminars since 1980. She's got so many modalities of learning for personal growth and healing in her private sessions, in her group, in Essence of Being workshops. There's so many different ones. She includes conscious breathing, kinesiology, emotional release, energy release, psychotherapy, NLP, EFT, anger release work, channeling, and super learning techniques. And so she's a pro. She's been doing this for 35 years. So of course, you know, I love to seek out powerful leaders that have really been doing this work and living this work for so long. And I'm very excited to bring her to all of you today, to bring her to my listeners so that you can glean some of the magic and some of the wisdom that Burge has shared with me. I took her Essence of Being workshop a few years ago. And, you know, when you do this personal development work and then you become a teacher, a coach in it, you know, you kind of think like, you don't think you have it all figured out, but you think like, wow, I've done a lot of work. I've done my healing. I'm good. I'm thriving. But I like to go back in as a student at least once a year and do some really deep work and deep training, because you don't know what you don't know. And if we don't continue to evolve and expand, and, you know, if we think we've got it all figured out, you know, that's when everything really falls apart. So I went into Essence of Being, and it was a very profound experience for me. I learned so much about myself. I think one of my bigger takeaways was that my success was fueled by my fear of failure. I was succeeding because I was afraid to fail. And that insight, you know, really had me stop and think about what my motivation was for success and where my leadership was coming from. And so I had a huge shift and a huge breakthrough to lead not from a place of fear, but from a place of love and from abundance. And working with Burge around abundance and shifting my own money mindset, you know, she was really the first teacher that helped me with that. And so I'm really grateful for all of her wisdom and all the work she has, you know, gosh, over these 35 years, I'm sure it's probably thousands and thousands and thousands of students, you know. When people come out of her workshops, things they say is like, you know, their day of graduation is their new birthday. It's like their spiritual birthday. It is so life-changing and so profound. So, you know, now that I am becoming a teacher of shifting money mindset, I really wanted to bring her in because she's really a profound teacher in this area of abundance and has a very fascinating kind of rags to riches story of herself, which she'll share with you. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce my mentor, my teacher, and my very good friend, Burge Smith-Lyons. Are you there,
Wow,
Burge?
Wow. Thank you, Jennifer. I'm like, who is this person? I want to meet her. Who is she? You're putting
you.
A lot of pressure on
you're
me.
Like, I want to work with her. She sounds fabulous.
Lots of pressure.
Yeah. I love it.
No, thank you, honey. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And thank you for that lovely condo that you lent me the other day on the ocean. That was
you're
very
welcome.
Fabulous.
You're welcome.
I
you're welcome. My pleasure.
That.
I love to share.
Thank you. So, gosh, where do we even start? I love your rags to riches story.
Okay,
fabulous.
Why don't we start there
about your money relationship was all those years ago and how you've kind of transformed that.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to share that. Not so long ago, I was a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I had divorced. I had a 2.5-year-old son. I had lost everything. I was bankrupt. I lost my house. I lost my business. I lost everything. And basically, all I had left was my 2.5-year-old son and a car that didn't work with one headlight and a door that wouldn't open. And I had to crawl inside the window to get inside the door, to get inside the car. And that's pretty much all I had. And I was living with a friend. I had no place to go. And I had lost everything. And I was in a really, really bad place because I thought, you know, here I am, a single mom having to deal with a 2.5-year-old, and what am I going to do, right? So from there, I knew all of these principles that I've been teaching all these years. I knew they worked. I knew that all I had to do was shift my beliefs around things, and I knew it was going to change, but I kept beating myself up saying, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. You know, I'm doing all of this great work in the world and this great play in the world and sharing all these things. Why is this happening? And the good news is I didn't give up on myself, and I kept believing that I was having a growth opportunity, and I surrounded people around, you know, I had people around me who reminded me of who I was. Even though I was scared, I really had faith that these principles were working. They just hadn't shown up yet. So I didn't give up. So not so many years later, I married a man. I've been with him now for 19 years. He's awesome. My son graduated from NYU. He's traveling the world singing and dancing and acting and doing what he loves to do all around the world. He's on a tour right now with Mamma Mia. I have millions in assets. We have a real estate company. I've been sharing all of this information that I've been learning with personal growth, with Essence of Being for 23 years now, just with Essence of Being and all those programs. I've traveled all around the world doing what I love, showing people what I've been through. And again, I have, you know, been able to really go from where I was to where I am now. And the truth is, I could do it again if something ever happened where it just fell apart. I have the tools and the knowing and the knowledge and the experience that this is just temporary, and as long as you keep believing in yourself, you can shift it. And these tools that I'm going to give you today really work. I'm a walking testimony that it works.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit more about Essence of Being before we go into the bubble talk.
I do so many different programs from that. Essence of Being is our flagship 3-day experience that we offer, and it is about going into that belief system to go behind the beliefs, go to the core beliefs around money, relationships, communication, religion, friends, purpose, your clarity, career, all of that stuff, to really dive into that and see, okay, what do I really believe about it and how is it showing up in my life, and is there anything that I'm missing that I'm just not even aware of? I love what you said at the beginning, that you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So what we do is we bring it to a conscious level. All of that unconscious thoughts, you know, I just found out that actually they found out from quantum physics now that there are 40,000 more thoughts thought in the unconscious brain than the conscious ones. And so there's no difference with the synapses in your brain between an unconscious thought and a conscious one. So it's sort of like if you think about a red Mercedes, it fires a certain way. And if you look at a red Mercedes, it fires the same way. So your brain doesn't know the difference between what's imagined and what's real. So I find that fascinating because that's basically what we do in these weekends. We do it in a fun way. We do it in super learning techniques, which is experiential, left brain, right brain, experience, and we give people information and tools, but they get to really feel it on a cellular level about what it is that's working for them and what's not working for them, and then they can absolutely shift it for real. I mean, it really, really shifts.
And also through the games. You know, that's what's so unique about what you do is, you know, the way you play the game in life is the way you play the game in the workshop. And you get to see yourself because nobody's thinking about, I don't know, how can I phrase this? Like, we play these games in Essence of Being, and you're just playing a game. And then when the game is over, you get to step back and see how you weren't being strategic, right? You were just playing the game. And that is such a mirror to how you show up in life.
Yeah, we say that. The way you play games is the way you play life. And the unconscious beliefs come up to the surface. And we have fun doing it. Some of the games are more fun than others. But you learn so much from making mistakes. And learn so much from allowing yourself to play and to go into a different... it puts you into a whole different alpha state sometimes in a lot of the things that we do, but you get to realize and mirror, like you said, mirror what's going on in your world, whether it's careers or relationships or money or purpose or anything that may be hidden from you. It's called a scotoma. We all have these blind spots, right? So what we do is we help people see through their blind spots so they can do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And really through, you know, it's one thing when we sit and we listen to lecture, but when we are up and we are playing and we are having these, you know, interactive experiences, that's what really lands the learning. You know, that's how people remember. That's how people have breakthroughs. And yeah, you have a lot of breakthroughs in your workshop.
Thank you, honey. Well, you know, it's all good. And we do so many different ones. We have Essence of Abundance, Essence of Relationships, Essence of Communication, and then we have all these graduate levels. But
Essence of Manifestation next. Is that the one I'm doing?
Yes, that's the one you're doing next, Passionate Manifestation. And what that does is it opens up a vortex of receiving, and you get to really delve into your passion and figure out and find out and experience what is my passion and how does that show up and manifest in the world, and to express myself fully and to have it come to me in a way that I really want it to come and to open up to that receiving. So I'm really, that's one of my favorite ones to share with people for sure.
I love it. So, and this relationship with money is a big you know, part of the work. You know, it's as a personal development coach, you know, I've noticed what people are really interested in is having a breakthrough in relationships, with love, in their career, and with money. That yep. seems like what people are coming to shift from where they are to where they want to be. And money's a biggie. This whole money mindset thing of, yeah, what I think is the most interesting thing is really looking at our personal relationship with money. Like, I feel like I have a really healthy relationship with money. But sometimes, like, even when it's like you feel that there's something wrong with that. Like, that if you love money, oh, that's bad. You know, it's like you want to have this great relationship with money, and all of a sudden money's like, hey, let's be friends. And you're like, oh, but I can't talk about you, and I can't, you know, I really don't like you, although I want you. And it's just pushing money away. And then you're like, well, I want you. And they're like, F you. You know, you've been pushing me away for all these years, and you think that I'm evil, and you think that I'm bad, and you think that I'll make you unhappy. So I'm not coming over here to you now. You know, it's really this kind of funny push-pull relationship we have with money because of society and what, you know, we've been grown up, whether what our parents taught us or whether what we see in the media and socializing and, in society. And, you know, I've really been doing my own personal work around this and looking very specifically around, you know, can I be comfortable with just even talking about it and what comes up for me?
This is part of what we do with, if you want to, we can have your listeners actually go in and see what are their beliefs around money in a really quick way
it.
So that they can play with
it.
This on an experiential way. And that's absolutely what we teach, is that, look, our money is our employee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That basically our relationship with money can look a lot of different ways, but it all stems from our belief systems around rich people and, you know, money itself, and how were we raised with it, and what does religion teach us, and what does our teachers teach us, and what do we learn from our environment around as we were growing up. And so those deep-seated beliefs, a lot of them are unconscious. And even if we were raised really great, we still have this permeating in the world. For instance, everybody can finish this. Money is the root of all
evil.
Right. You have to, that person is filthy.
Rich.
Right. Money doesn't grow on
trees.
Exactly. So you have to work
hard
to make money. So, I mean, even if you had the best environment and the best experience around money, all of that is still in the world, in the consciousness. And it's really interesting. When I teach in Malaysia, when I teach in Asia, the money consciousness there is very similar to what it is everywhere else, too. Because I kept thinking, you know, when I go to different countries and teach, it's like maybe their money relationships are different, but it seems very similar in that everybody has a belief. Everybody has a belief around rich people and those types of things. And so what I would love to offer your listeners is a way for them to kind of go in and see what is it that their bubble is coming up with. So I should probably tell them what a bubble is.
Tell them what a bubble is.
Okay.
So
I have a concept called bubble talk. It's the unconscious thought that keeps you from getting what you want. Mm-hmm. So it's like that little cartoon character that you see above, a little bubble above their head, and that's what they're thinking. And so there's this belief system, unconscious belief system that's going on up there that's in your bubble. Even though you consciously say, hey, I want to be rich, I want a red Mercedes, I want this, mm-hmm. I want that, but yet it's not showing up in your garage yet, right? And so I tell people, look, if you do affirmations, little lies you tell yourself until they become true, right? It's sort of like you are affirming that you want something, but it hasn't happened yet. And so what happens with that is your bubble talk really, really is running the bus. In other words, when you have a conscious thought, that's putting your gas on, okay? You consciously say, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a billionaire, or whatever it is. That's your conscious thought, that's your gas. You also could be, your bubble talk or your unconscious thoughts could be putting on your brakes, which is the unconscious belief that you can't have it, that you're not worthy, that there's something wrong with you, that you don't deserve it, that you're not good enough, okay? So those are belief systems that can absolutely resist you having what you want. It is an unconscious thought that blocks you. Yep. So you have your brake on and you have your gas on at the same time. And when you do that, you spin your wheels, right? Mm. You don't go anywhere.
Right.
So what happens with what we want to do, most of us, we know how to let go of our desire. We know how to let go of the gas. So we settle. We say to ourselves, well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Mm-hmm. Or I guess I'm just not, you know, that I'm not cut out for that. Or this is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
And so what I'd like to do is to help people not let go of their gas or their conscious desires, but to help them let go of the brake or the resistance to actually creating it. And so if you take the brake off, you can go really far. So it's a matter of, I mean, there's so many different things you can do consciously, investment strategies and budgets and all kinds of tools that I can give them, which I do. But if your unconscious belief system is you're not good enough, or it's not, you're not worthy, or you don't deserve it, or rich people are bad, so I don't want to be one.
Right.
Then you're kind of defeating the purpose at that point. So, yeah. So that's why with the bubble talk, we like to go see what's in there and dig around with a stick, because if that is true, if your belief systems and your unconscious thoughts are running the bus, then you've got to really be conscious and aware of what that is. So we raise that to the conscious level. So
right.
That's something I can do with your listeners if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'd like to do, I'll just give you a couple of things. If you're driving or if you're sitting down, you know, don't be doing this. If you're driving, but if you're not, you can listen to this later. And also just say, I want you to write down 1 through 10. I want you to rate yourself. I'm going to give you 10 different statements. And out of these 10 different statements, I want you to rate yourself. 1 being absolutely don't agree with it. 5 is you kind of agree with it. 10, you absolutely 100% agree with it. And make it a stream of consciousness answer.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't think about it, don't edit it, just first things that come up, you write
right.
it down, 1 through 10. Okay?
Okay.
And this will be good for people to kind of get in touch with maybe what's underneath there, what's going on about money in their relationships, okay?
Right. So 1, don't agree at all, 5, in the middle, somewhat, and 10, agree strongly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Money is the root of all evil.
Okay.
Number 2. It's more enlightened to be poor than rich. And 3, most rich people probably did something bad or dishonest to get their money.
Okay.
4, having a lot of money will make me less spiritual or pure.
Okay.
5, getting rich takes too much work and struggle.
Okay.
6, having a lot of money is a big responsibility. 7, I don't feel good enough to be rich.
Yep.
8, realistically, chances are I'll never be rich. 9, getting rich isn't for people like me. 10, getting rich is a matter of luck or fate.
Okay.
So what I want everyone to do now is just add up your numbers. Add them all up.
I did it too.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, you never know what's going to be in there. You could be working on something specific.
Mm-hmm.
So these are just little highlights about to give you an exact, it's like a window into the unconscious. So
mm-hmm.
if you add up over 50, if you scored over 50 in the entire thing, then there's definitely some work around your bubble talk with money, about your relationships with money and your mindset about what is it that I believe. And then the other cool thing to do is if you scored 5 or over on any one of those statements,
mm-hmm.
I suggest you take a look at those statements,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to give you some awareness around what is it that could be blocking you unconsciously. Did you have any over five?
I just had one at five, and it was there's a lot of responsibility that comes from being
right. Having a lot of money is a big responsibility.
And there's a part of me that believes that to be true. And in the way of, it's interesting, so like checking in, the responsibility of actually making a difference with the money. So not in the work and the but like that I would be responsible to do a lot more giving and making a difference if I
was
rich.
Perfect.
So it's a different kind of responsibility. So maybe it's not in the negative.
Right.
Place,
no, that's perfect. But it's still you're right. It still can be a block that can come up in an unconscious way of saying, if I have all this money, you know, then I feel like really responsible to really help people and share, and I won't be able to do enough. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but you know what? It actually felt like a virtue. Like it felt like a good thing for me. So I think that I'm okay here because I feel like what a privilege, what an honor to do that and to step up into that.
Perfect.
So
that's
it doesn't
perfect.
Feel so negative.
But it it doesn't have to be
negative.
I'm glad
that I checked in with what was behind that five because I actually think that I'm up for that. I'm game for that responsibility. I'd like to take that on.
I will say that a lot of people, when I do these types of things, when I do these particular questions, what does come up most for people is the big responsibility, and it takes too much work and struggle, and that rich people are bad. So a lot of times those beliefs are not ours.
Yeah,
those are our parents or what we've been raised with, and it's what we've seen. We've had experience, and we have evidence that that's true. And so what I tell people is, look, if you think that rich people are bad or it's going to be too much work and struggle, then what the hell do you want to do it for?
Right.
So that is an absolute block.
You know what? With that, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll come back and finish this conversation because I have something to say.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the Lost Cat Magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a Lost Cat Magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and ducks.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is Jennifer Grace with Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen. And I'm here with my fabulous guest, Burge Smith-Lyons. And we are talking about the bubble talk of money. So, Burge, to kind of come in where we just left off, we were doing the little rating thing for our beliefs around money. And, you know, rich people are bad. That was another one that I actually put 3 on. And, you know, so here's an interesting experience for me. You know, I was in New York on Wall Street, and there was lots of great people there, and there was a lot of crooks there. And there was a lot of really bad stuff going on that I saw, and I saw people, you know, being super shady and stealing, and they were very rich. And so I've had this like direct experience of that. And so there's a great example. How do we, and then I went to, well, look at all the wealth in the world. Not everybody is like that and whatnot. And so how do you start dismantling, you know, you have an actual experience, proof, you know, it's here it is. How do you start dismantling that?
Great question. Great question, Jennifer. So here's the thing. So we gather evidence all of our lives to prove our beliefs are right.
Right.
Okay. So you had evidence, and we all have this evidence right in front of us to say, but look, here it is. So isn't this real? And so what we talk about and what we help people shift through and dismantle those beliefs is looking at what is real and what's not. Our fears feel very real. Our fear is, wow, you know, we call it false evidence appearing real. Okay. So our fear might be that if we become one of these rich people, that this could happen to us. And look, this is the evidence right in front of me. So I always say, look, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on people being shady and crooks, or are you focusing on creating an abundant world? What are you focusing on? It's called the reticular activator in our brain. So it's not just woo-woo, hey, let me focus on this a little while. Because, you know, in the workshops, we say what you focus on expands, it gets bigger.
Right.
But it also really does in your brain. It's sort of, if you're focusing on all the shady people in the world, then that's what you keep finding. That's what you keep focusing on. It's sort of like when you buy a new car, when you're looking to buy a new car, and you say, hey, I've never seen this car before, but you start exploring it, and you start looking at it, and then all of a sudden,
it's everywhere.
You start seeing it everywhere, right?
That happened to my VW Tiguan. I thought I'd be the only one on the road, and then I went on the road, and everybody had it. I was like,
exactly.
What?
It's perfect. It is because of your focus, your reticular activator, absolutely in your brain, in your subconscious as well. It absolutely, you focus on that. And so I said, what are you going to focus on, creating or losing money? Fear is the common denominator of either not having money or not keeping it. And so the fear of having it or not having it can really keep people frozen, keeps them frozen from making mistakes, because we've learned throughout the years that mistakes are learning experiences. And if you're afraid to fail, then you already have.
Right.
Fear is definitely a driving motivation. It can be. Okay, so the question would be like, if I have a lot of money, what would people want or expect from me? That could keep you from creating as much wealth as you want.
Oh, I definitely think that. I said, you know, the more famous or the richer that you get, the more people are going to come after you to want something. And And that could be true, though, couldn't it?
It could be. And so what are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on that or not? You know, that's,
right.
that's your choice. That's your
there
choice to say, you know, that's a thought I have. And you can look at your thoughts and go, you know, that doesn't. And here's the other thing I teach people. Until recently, I thought that people are going to come after me if I become rich. Now, I choose to focus on attracting people that really appreciate me for who I am, and I get to choose what I do with my wealth, which goes
yes.
back to that whole thought of, you know, sharing it and being able to make a difference in the world. So that is something you can really sink your teeth in, and that's what you attract to you. Because, of course, it all goes back to that law of attraction where you're attracting, you're vibrating these experiences to you. So you can always look. If you start looking for all the things that aren't working, you're going to find it. So
yep.
if you start looking at all the things of why, you know, what are all the reasons I can't be really wealthy or can't be really rich or what's really going to happen to me if I do that, and if you have all of these things come up that don't feel good, I mean, who wants people hanging out with, you know, if they're expecting a lot of things from you, it's really puts a lot of pressure on you, doesn't it? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, why even focus on that? So,
right.
The other side of that, the flip side would be, if I don't have it, do people judge me? And am I limiting myself? So fear can be driving it, whether I'm having it or not having it. So people that may have a fear of having it can have that fear of, like I said, you know, what are people going to want or expect from me? Are they going to want just, am I going to have to be, are they going to really like me for me? Are they just liking me for my money? If you don't have it, are your fears, you know, could it be that people are judging me, and am I judging myself, and am I limiting myself? So there's a lot of fear. So what we talk about with money is that a lot of times money can soothe our fear. So people spend money to avoid pain. Think
yes.
about it. When you spend money, like if you feel bad, what do? You go out and you buy something, go get a new set of clothes,
eat
something. Go drink something. You know?
We all have our addictions, right? So spending money is an addiction. Food.
Well,
can be an addiction.
A lot of us will spend money to avoid the pain that we're feeling.
Sure.
So we
Gotcha.
Think that money is going to soothe our fear or soothe our pain. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's an unconscious behavior. So what we teach people to do is become conscious around money, because a lot of people do. They get very unconscious. They either lose money, they don't know where it goes.
Right.
It slips through their fingers. Where did it go? I thought I had some. Where'd it go? And a lot of times we're not really conscious about how we spend our money and what we do with it. And I'm going to give your listeners some tools that you can use in order to become more conscious around money.
Nice.
Okay. But a lot of times we will avoid money because we think it's negative. And if we're avoiding money, we could be avoiding success.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. if we avoid money, it's as negative as being attached to it. Because we feel like a lot of us, you know, we don't want to be attached to it. We think that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
So avoiding it could be just as detrimental.
Yeah.
Because if we're afraid to fail, like I said, then we already have.
Yep.
Failures turn these learners into winners. I don't call them losers. I call them learners. Okay,
like
because
that.
When you fail, you're actually participating. You know that 7 out of 10 millionaires have gone bankrupt at least
yes,
once.
I do know that.
Yeah, and I'm one
yeah.
of them, right? Because failure is a part of the process.
Yeah, they take risks. I mean, you gotta get in the game. You can't sit on the sidelines if you want to play big. You gotta play, and sometimes
that's right.
things happen, and you gotta bounce back. And yeah,
well, successful people fail more than unsuccessful people because they're learning as they fail.
Yeah.
Think of the athletes,
yes.
right? Athletes, they're winners. They basically they fail, 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 and then they win.
Yes.
So what happens is a lot of times people will be avoiding the failure because they don't want to fail. And we say in the workshops, the only failure is the failure to participate. As long as you're participating, you're learning.
Yes.
And as long as you're learning, you're moving. And as long as you're moving, you have an effect in the world. The minute you stop moving toward your goal, whether it's money or relationships or whatever it is, then you have no effect. But so many people get stuck. They just stand there because they're afraid to fall. Mm. And what I remind people is this. If you're afraid to fall, think about when you very first learned how to walk. Every single person on the planet that can walk, okay, had to fail before they walked. You got up, you fell down. You stepped on your right foot. You didn't step on your wrong foot.
Right.
You stepped on your left foot, right? So you stepped on your right foot, you stepped on your left foot, and you fell down, and then you got back up. So we've all experienced failing in order for us to learn to win. And so we've all done that just by the simple facts of, we do that so many times in our lives, we just forget. But when you put money to it, it has a whole nother energy. A lot of people put a lot of energy into what that means. And then that goes right back to those belief systems that, you know, I'm not good enough, or I don't deserve it, I'm not worthy, or I'm afraid I'll make a mistake.
Right.
And it's a lot of resistance that comes up.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say, what are you going to focus on? You cannot attract prosperity from disliking being poor.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So when I was sitting in the car, right, with going, you know, I had choices at that point. I had a lot of evidence that things were not working for me. I had a lot of evidence. And so what I had a choice. I could either keep looking at that evidence and saying, yep, that's right, I'm really failing here. Things are not working. Or I chose to look at the things that I was creating and things that I knew was going to happen and was happening. And I didn't let the, I let the fear around that motivate me into creating instead of losing more.
Right.
So that is how you do it, to answer, it's a long answer to your question. But yeah, so if you resist things, it can actually block you from creating it. And you know that whole thing of what you resist persists.
Exactly.
So one of the things I love to say is, one of the ways to let go of your resistance is to give, like you're talking about, is giving. Give as you go and create a flow. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite little sayings. Give as you go and create a flow. And that is absolutely, without a doubt, one of the most powerful things that I did to get me out of that situation was I gave somebody something other than what I, if they didn't have it, even if it was a dollar, it was a habit that I got into in saying that, wow, I just gave that person a dollar, they didn't have that, and that makes me feel abundant. That makes me feel more abundant because I was able to help somebody with something. So when you give something of yourself, whether it be money or time or love, when you do that, you're absolutely creating a flow. And it unblocks any flow that you've blocked up. So people have blocks from giving, they have blocks from receiving, and a lot of times they'll have blocks from just having it. Just having money is just too much of a fear of having that responsibility of having it. So I always say give as you go and create a flow, and that really worked for me because it created, kick-started my experience of being abundant so that I could live abundantly again and know even more so. I became even more abundant. And there's a really great, Buckminster Fuller is one of my mentors that I teach, and one of the things that he said was what wealth is. Wealth, his definition of wealth is your ability, how many days forward can you go without working? That's how wealthy you are.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I want to share is that your net work is your net worth.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand that for the longest time, but if you think about it, your network that you have, your access to resources is your net worth.
Mm-hmm.
Not your bank account.
Yes.
Right? Not all of your investments. It is really your access. And your access can look like education. It can look like people. The bigger your network, the more your net worth is.
Yep.
And that was huge for me. And as I get older, I realize how really important that is.
Yes.
And you have a huge network, Jennifer, so you're very wealthy and you're very, your net worth is huge. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing because you really are creating a difference in the world. And so,
yeah
I wanted to give your listeners some tools if that's
Please,
good.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. So one of the things I teach people is you have to have four buckets, okay? Four buckets of what to do with your money.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, I teach children too, by the way. I teach a lot of kids, teach teenagers and children. Right. Because I'm trying to put myself out of business, right?
So this way they won't need all of us. That's me too. I'm doing programs for kids too. I mean, this is what everybody says. I wish I knew this when I was a kid.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? That's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's brilliant to be able mm-hmm. to do that. So I feel like... if I can put myself out of business with these kids, then all is well. So what I teach them, and I teach the adults the same thing, you have four buckets. You save, you give, you spend, and you invest.
Mm.
So with every piece of income, everything that comes in monthly or weekly or however it comes to you, you either mentally or actually physically, not a bucket, but you have...
Yeah.
You have an account, or you have a certain habit that you say, I'm going to spend a little, I'm going to give a little, I'm going to save a little, and I'm going to invest a little. And what the differences are is that when you give a little bit, what happens, it doesn't have to be 10%. You know, we talk about tithing and all of that, but it's 10%. It can be 1%, 2%, $1, $20, $1 million. It doesn't matter as long as you're putting something in those four buckets. Because what happens is when you give something to someone, again, it creates a vibration of flow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We all know how to spend, so I'm not even going to talk about that category.
Oh, yeah.
But giving is critical. It's a critical part of creating wealth. And if you mm-hmm. ask anybody who, I mean, look at Zuckerberg, look at, you know, Bill Gates, look at these people who are, you know, they're philanthropists, right? And so the giving part of that is so profoundly part of that giving and receiving experience that many people don't do it because they're afraid there's not enough.
Right.
And if you're afraid there's not enough, then that's what you're focusing on, right? So it's basically having a faith lift, I call it, a faith lift.
Mm.
Meaning, like Bucky would give away his money every single month, Buckminster Fuller, he would give away his money every month and start from zero. But the saving bucket is you never touch it. You never, 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 never touch it. You never touch it. The only thing you spend on that is the interest. Because what you're doing when you save is you always will have it there. In other words, it's that feeling. It's like I did before. I would put a $100 bill. I would always have a $100 bill in my wallet.
Wallet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I could feel like, oh, I could buy that if I needed to. I have that, or I could spend that. I have that. So it's mm-hmm. this unconscious kind of a underlying feeling of, oh, yeah, I could do that. It puts your mind and your heart at ease that you have something there, period. And so I always have a $100 bill in my wallet. If I ever have to spend it, I always put it back. I put something back because it's that feeling of I could spend that if I wanted to. And I'm not dead broke. So it's
right.
the same kind of feeling when you have that in your save bucket. So you don't really, you don't spend anything out of your savings except for the interest.
Mm.
Okay? So it's a feeling that you are always, that
abundant.
You have enough. Okay.
Yeah.
The last bucket is investment. So an investment means pay yourself first. That's what rich people do. That's the difference between rich people and not rich people. Okay? Rich people buy assets. An asset is anything that puts money in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
period. If you're buying something that puts money in your pocket, then it's an asset.
Okay.
Okay? So now bankers will tell you different. You know, you go to the bankers and you say, here's my balance sheet. Here's my assets and here are my liabilities. And people count cars and houses that you live in and all of those things as an asset in that way. But it truly, from this point of view, from this perspective, it's not an asset because think about your house, your car, your boats, all those things. They take money out of your mm-hmm. wallet. They don't put money
right.
into your wallet unless you have rental property. So an asset is anything that puts money in your pocket.
Okay.
Okay? So that's what we say by pay yourself first.
Right.
So instead of going out and buying something that takes money out of your pocket, the rich people, what they do, the rich keep getting richer, it's because they buy assets. They don't buy liabilities that they think are assets. That's what the
right.
middle class does. The middle class goes in and buys things that they think are assets, but they're really liabilities because they're taking money out of their pocket. So pay yourself first. That is a huge, huge tool of investment. And that could look like all kinds of things. Anything that creates passive income,
mm-hmm.
anything that creates income, could be a business or an IOU or royalties or,
yeah.
you know, stocks, those type of things. Anything that's going to create more money. So you make your money work for you. Most people work for their money. So I say, hey, switch it up. Have your money work for you.
Yeah.
Your money is your employee.
Yep.
Cash is your employee. And it's always a good time to make money. Because people look at that and think, well, you know, I'm going to blame the government, or I'm going to blame the IRS, or I'm going to blame the economy, or I'm going to blame...
Yep.
Obama, whatever, you know, and if you think about it, the times that most wealth are made, or a lot of times that most wealth is made, is really in a down economy.
Yep, yep. And again, it comes back to our belief about it. You know, I remember going into becoming a coach in 2008, and my dad and my ex-husband, you know, they were worried about me. They said, we're in this deep recession. Nobody has money to pay an electric bill. Who's going to hire a coach? And I looked at them and I said, the rules don't apply to me. And they're like, oh, who the hell do you think you are? I said, nobody. I'm just saying the rules don't apply to me. I'm not buying into all of this. There's plenty of people who can hire me. And more importantly, you know, this is going to help take them out of that hole. You know, everybody's walking around with this fear mindset, and the work that I do is to really flip that. So I think that this is the greatest time to become a coach. And I was right. You know, every single year I doubled, and then last year quadrupled because I've been working on my money mindset, my income of what was possible for me. And I keep breaking through that glass ceiling, like with these belief systems. But it's so good to go back in. And even when you're doing great, you don't know what you don't know. And just even doing this little test with you today was so enlightening for me, you know, to really check in. What are my unconscious belief systems? Because that's what's running the show.
Yep. Yep. That's excellent. I'm so grateful for you and what you're doing in the world too. And it really makes a difference. And I really honor you and appreciate what you're doing with money and with relationships and life in general. And so good. You made up your own rules. That's excellent.
Thank you. Yes.
You have to give yourself permission to do that.
That's right. And I know that you've got some gifties for my students, for my listeners. I always call them students because this always feels like a master class, not a radio show. But it
yep.
is what it is. It's a yeah. master class radio show.
Yeah, totally.
Tell us what you got today.
I do, yes. And, you know, again, it's on the concept of giving, right? So I'm gifting all of your listeners a couple of things. One is I have affirmations for prosperity, and they you can download that. You can go to thetinyurl.com/EOB, which stands for Essence of Being. And then AFP, Affirmations for Prosperity. So it's tinyurl.com.
tinyurl.com. slash
or, EOBAFP. So it's A-F-P. Essence of Being, Affirmations for Prosperity. And if you go to that link, that will you'll get a free download of all the affirmations for prosperity that is there. And it's really cool because I have a lot of students that use these, and I had a dog, a guy that has a business that grooms dogs, and he played this in his business, and his business tripled in income in 1 month, but just by playing this. But the other cool thing about these affirmations were that all the dogs were sitting there getting sheared, just going, "Oh, this is great." They were very calm.
That's
and,
cute.
You know, so it was really funny because all the dogs loved it too. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
So that is Affirmations for Prosperity. You can go to essenceofbeing.com, which is my website, essenceofbeing.com, and you can click on there where it says get free videos. So I'm going to gift you both of these. The free videos are 4 steps to creating wealth.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That is so generous of you. Giving, giving. Love the giving. And I'm giving. I'm going to be doing a money mindset free masterclass. So if you want to check that out, it'll be June 1st and 2nd. And that's at jennifergrace.com/free stuff. So I'm all about
giving.
That's
awesome, honey. And actually, let me just say that if you guys want to come to Essence of Being, we're doing it in Atlanta this weekend, May 20th through the 22nd. And
awesome.
We're doing it in Fort Lauderdale, July 29th through the 31st. So those are the next ones coming up.
And I'm giving you my house if you'd like to stay there while I'm gone.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And my car I'm giving you.
Yeah,
giving
see?
It all to you.
See? Gifting a car.
All right. Thank you all for joining us on this awesome show. Thank you, Burge. I love you so much. Thanks for all the good information today. And remember, guys, this has been Jennifer Grace, and this is as real as it's gonna get.